Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi everyone. Jazakum Allah khair for coming. I know this week too now, inshallah, our second session of the term. Exams coming up soon, I know revision's a bit crazy, but Jazakum Allah khair for taking the time out to come through. Today, inshallah, we're going through Imam Ghazali's Ihya book, talking about intention. And inshallah, it'll be very beneficial for all of us.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله الذي جعل ذكره طمأنينة للقلوب وجلاء لها عن ريب الذنوب ومطراة لوسواس الخناس المكذوب والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الداعي إلى كل فعل محبوب وأمر مطلوب وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب أما بعد فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء كعرض السماء والأرض أعدت للذين آمنوا بالله ورسله ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. So vie with one another in seeking to attain your Lord's forgiveness and the garden who's with is as the width of the heavens and the earth, one which has been prepared for those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. That is Allah's bounty, which He bestows upon those who He pleases. Allah is the Lord of abounding mercy and bounty. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنِّي لَكُم مِّنْهُ نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ. Flee, therefore, to Allah. Surely I am a clear warner to you from Him. Brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to lecture number 37 in our series on Ikhlas and its related subjects. Is everything okay? Now, last week, after revising our discussion on the thinking points of Hisab, of reckoning, reckoning on the Day of Judgment, we began reading from the chapter on Bayanu anna niyyata ghayru dakhilatin tahta al-ikhtiyar, the exposition of the fact that intention is beyond choice. And in that discussion, there were six salient points we covered. The first, in summary, was following on from the discussion on multiplicity of intentions that we gave, after showing us that we are able to make multiple intentions for one deed, Imam Ghazali began to draw attention to now the weights in these weights and rankings in these different intentions, in order to teach us how to aspire to higher levels of intention. Just as we seek the best for ourselves in this world, everyone wants to realize the full capacity of their potential in worldly terms. Everything we do is to get the best. We want to go to the best university, the best car, the best house, the best wife, the best family, the best career, everything. We want to realize the best potential that we can for our dunya, and likewise for akhirah. As a Muslim, we must have the same attitude towards our akhirah. And in fact, even more, because it is not only about succeeding in this world, but success in the next life is of paramount importance. In fact, it takes precedence, because this life compared to that life is like a drip, it's like a drop in the ocean in terms of time. Eternity versus 50, 60, 100 years, 110 years, even if you live, that's it. So that was the first point. The second point was that Shaitan is on a mission to derail the children of Adam from the straight path. Shaitan has a plan, he has a project, he has a mission, he's on a mission, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about that. In the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, Allah says, قَالَ أَنذِرْنِي, when Shaitan says, قَالَ أَنذِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, give me respite until the day they are raised up, until the day of judgment. قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْضَرِينَ, Allah says, okay, well, you have respite, we will give you respite, you're granted respite. And قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And then Satan said, that since you have led me astray, لَأَقُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, that I shall sit in ambush for them on your straight path. This is the path that Allah wants us to go, and He will sit in ambush. And He says, ثُمَّ لَأَتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And then I will attack them. I will come upon them from in front and from behind and from the right and from the left. And then as a result of that, you will not find many of them grateful. So Allah makes it crystal clear in Surah Al-Fatir, in Surah Al-Fatir, He says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. That shaitan is your enemy, is your clear enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. And in other words, فَعَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ وَإِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. And therefore, so take him as an enemy, فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا, because he intends to take those who follow him into the with him as inmates of the fire. So his modus operandi is to first try to dissuade you from doing something. That is from in front. He comes, say, okay, stop. No, don't do that. But then when you persist and you say, no, you disregard the influences that come from shaitan in the mind, the whisperings and the suggestions, then he says, he comes from behind and pull your attention in a different direction. And if you persist, then from left and right, he'll pull you in one direction or another to go into excess, go into extreme. And we'll talk about that more. So what he actually does, and in modern parlance, you would call, he's indulging actually in damage limitation, because your success is his failure. His mission is to make you fail. So the more you succeed, is the more it corresponds to the failure of his mission. So he does damage limitation. I can get them to reduce their success as much as possible. So he wants you to do the least rewarding of intentions. He wants you to make the least rewarding intention. So this is a battle. It's a struggle with shaitan. Number three was that saying that I intend to do so and so for the sake of Allah is not niyyah. This is a fiction of imagination. People think by just saying, oh, I intend to do so and so, running a script on the tongue is not. Running scripts, these are not intentions. These are hadith nafs. They are whisperings to oneself. They're just jumping from min khatirin ila khatir, from thought to thought. Intentions. Intention is, of course, a state in the heart, a condition in the heart, which is determined by what the heart perceives as and what it genuinely believes to be favorable and beneficial to the person. What we have in our heart to be genuinely beneficial for us, that is the thing that will guide the intention. And here Imam Ghazali reminds us of a person, the example he gave, and this is an important example to keep in mind. Because often we think that we can just say, oh, I'm doing charity for X, Y, and Z, for Allah, and for this and for that, and not realize that shaitan has put several layers and the nafs is all playing with us. So he said, think about this. If someone is full, it's fully satiated, they had a full meal, they're full to the brim, and then they say, they run the script on them, I intend to have an appetite for this plate of food, they could not have it. Because the heart, that the internal makeup, is filled with something else. And so it is for one whose heart is filled with the love of this world alone, then merely saying I have concern for my akhirah, and I intend to work for my akhirah, or this will be just lip service. It cannot be ruled or be considered as genuine intention. Number four was that in addition to being inclined towards goals in the hereafter and pleasing Allah, the heart also needs to be free from contradictory impulses and thinking and thoughts and inclinations, because there's an ongoing battle that's happening in the mind. And at the very least, what you need to have is that the contradictory distractions and diversions must be weaker than your inclinations to akhirah. One must see that the benefit of akhirah is infinitely more valuable than that of the benefit in this world. We have to have that value system arranged in such a way that anytime there's a clash between the benefit of the akhirah and our benefit in this world, then we automatically give preference to akhirah, because that is more important. As long as it is beyond need, our needs of this world are taken care of, and then there's a clash, then whenever that clash comes, then the heart has to immediately switch, and that's what we're aiming to cultivate. And he gives the example, he teaches us how to do that. Later on, he gives us the formulas to work it through. Number five was that the multiple intention for a single deed can vary in rankings and rewards, which is what these values and rankings should also be kept in mind, so that we are able to make the most of our actions. And for this, we need to be familiar with, of course, the fada'in. In order to be able to configure those our approach and our understanding of intentions, the varied intentions, we have to have knowledge of the fada'il, and the knowledge and the virtues of that are attached to specific deeds. And here Imam Ghazali uses the example of intention for marriage, which is a useful one, and from that you can extrapolate on other actions as well. And at the very basic level, one can intend to seek protection from falling into sin by seeking halal fulfillment of one's desires, which is perfectly sound. It's a perfectly sound intention to have. However, there are other, more lofty, higher goals that one can have for the intention of marriage, and configure over and above that. Number six was that the way to acquire this ability to foster higher rankings of intention begins with the first endeavor that we've got to work on is taqwiyatu imanina bishara, which is the strengthening of our belief in the validity of the guidance. We have to be completely convinced that this guidance that has come, that there is no doubt about it. Alif lam mim dhalik al-kitabu la rayba fi. This book in which there is no doubt. There's no doubt that this is from Allah. There's no doubt that Allah has chosen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as his messenger. That has to be completely clear in your mind and certain. So taqwiyatu imanika bishara, reflecting on the fact that this guidance is from Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he knows best what is good for you. And reflecting, of course, on his words, where Allah says very clearly in the Quran, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, that perhaps you may dislike something, and تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, you may dislike something, but it is in fact good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ, and perhaps you may prefer something. That, and this is to show Allah is emphasizing our limitations, our short-sightedness, that Allah can see things through and through. He created us, he knows us more than we know ourselves, and he is able to determine what is in our best interest over and above all our intellectual capacities and our ability to think and see and foresee and have insight and have intelligence and have knowledge and to produce and test and to verify. All those machinations that we can do are all limited when it is compared. It's nothing. That وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ, that you are not given knowledge except for a tiny amount of knowledge. So you have to recognize that. And then the verse continues here. It says, Allah is making it very clear. He says, عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ, that perhaps you may like something, you may prefer something, but it is shar, it is evil for you. And then he completes the verse with وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that Allah knows and you do not know. That, so that is taqwiyatu imanina bishara, that this is from Allah. So when Allah has been said something, and when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes a judgment, rules that you have to do something in a certain way, then that has to be above all our consideration, all our abilities of determining what is right and wrong. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to come above that, and that is also made clear in the Quran. Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. That by, he said, but no, and this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking note. He said, فَلَا, فَدَوَ رَبِّكَ that by your Lord, you cannot become true believers, real, complete believers, until they seek the ruling of Rasulullah, the ruling of Muhammad, you, until they seek your ruling in all matters which they are confused about or disagreeing about, everything, you have to seek the verdict of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those matters which you do not know. And then, and this is the important part, is that not only accepting it, but it's not about accepting it grudgingly, that look, oh, you know, yeah, I don't like this judgment, but it, you know, it's common. No. He said, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا, that they do not find in themselves, in their mental makeup, in their heart, the least vexation in the hearts over what you have decided. And accept, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, that they have to accept with complete willing submission. That is the ruling. That is what, so that's what you have to aim for in at first, to build that's the first endeavor. The second task, after reinforcing our belief in the validity of Sharia in our hearts, then the need becomes to learn and keep in mind the magnitude of rewards that are attached to specific deeds over and above lower deeds or lower intention. We have to understand the rankings of intention. So that requires knowledge of specific deeds and actions that are attached to it. What kind of value of fada'il, what kind of virtue that is attached to each one. So this requires familiarity with the teachings of the Sharia, teachings of the Sunnah, teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the great reward for following the Sunnah, as in the example we have been given, which was the great reward for following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in marriage. That if we approach marriage with wanting to follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that reward is infinitely more important, more greater for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because he said, النِّكَاحُ مِن سُنَّتِي فَمَن رَغِبَ عَن سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. That he says that nikah, says marriage, is my sunnah. So those who are disinclined towards this, or those who are not happy with this, then they are ignoring my sunnah. They should not consider themselves my followers. And then over and above that, by marriage you will be seeking to partake in fulfilling the wish of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was his wish? His wish was to have the most followers of all the prophets on the day of judgment. That he said that inni mukathirum bikum al umam, inni mukathirum bikum al anbiya yawm al qiyamah. That I shall outnumber the prophets on the day of resurrection. So that was the second thing, is to learn the fada'il. And we talked about this in the earlier sessions, about the need to familiarize yourselves with the virtues of actions. Because today we are receiving, as I said, 10,000, between 4 and 10,000 messages every day in adverts, which we are exposed to every day, about fada'il of the dunya. That this model of phone and this model of this and this brand of this has got this fadila, and this branch has had this virtue, and this one has this fadila. And these are all messages about the fada'il of the dunya. So we need some balance. And where do you get the balance? For the akhirah, the fada'il of the akhirah. If our minds is constantly, or minds are bombarded and flooded with fada'il of the dunya, and we have no balance for it, then that will have an impact on the fostering of intention in the heart. Where does it go? Where does it sit? Where does it default to? If it's flooded with in one direction, then it will be pushed. So that's the point, is that you need to have these fada'il in your mind. Now the third task, to channel this idea, to channel you, is daf'i al-munaffirat, which is to repel or dismiss, challenge the contradictory thinking in this matter. Because in every thought, every good thought that you will get, you'll be faced with contradictory thoughts to dismiss it. One from shaitan, and sometimes from nafs due to laziness. The nafs The lower self is always seeking ease. It wants to relax. It doesn't want to do work. It doesn't want to do things. And Shaitan then uses that, you know, looking for ease, looking for way out. You know, what's the easiest way out? How do I get out of doing stuff? How do I get out of getting up for Fajr? How do I, you know, not pray? Or why should I read so much Quran? Why should I spend so much time? I can watch YouTube videos. I'll be entertained. Now, these are things that the nafs will be pushing you. So you have to. You have to have a way to challenge that, a scheme in the mind to challenge that, to challenge the contradictory thinking, such as in the example that we are discussing, in that particular example, the contradictory thoughts in that is that children might not be such a good idea because they are very costly. That's something that comes in the mind. So I'm going to get married, I'm going to get children, and this is going to be a massive burden. Now, that's something that comes into the mind. Shaitan puts it into you. It'd be very costly, and it will also be very difficult to do. So, you know, maybe I should just not get married because I'm unhappy. Or maybe I should negotiate not having children if I get married. And all of this kind of stuff is happening. And in the modern world, we see that in countries where where people have no guidance on these matters, or they've disconnected from guidance, then the birth rate is in catastrophic decline. This is a major problem in many countries nowadays. And so what we must be able to do is to dismiss it, is to dismiss it resolutely with counterthoughts of the fact that Allah is the provider of sustenance. That is not you. Although it appears that you are the one who is going to feed this child who is going to come, or these children who are going to come, it is not you. It is Allah. Allah is the one who will feed the children. Just as He fed you, Allah is the one who gives sustenance. You came into the world and your sustenance was written and He's given you. And when a child comes in the world, he comes with one mouth but two hands. And those hands may one day feed you. So these are counter thoughts. You're challenging it, you're going against it. And as for the difficulty of raising children, then you need to know that Allah will transform your heart. This is another thing you need to understand, which you wouldn't be able to experience unless you have your child. But you need to know that this is something that will happen, that Allah will transform your heart upon the arrival of your child, such that you'll become completely transformed into a person who used to seek their own comfort all the time, and now you will sacrifice your own comfort for the comfort of that child. And that happens because Allah puts a special mercy in your heart. The hadith is clear where Allah says, I've said this before, but in this context, you need to remember this. This is one way of challenging these thoughts about not having children, is that Allah says, we got this in hadith, that anzala fi dunya, that inna lillahi miyatu rahmatin, that Allah's mercy is limitless. But imagine that Allah has 100, that Allah's mercy is 100, then 1% of it, he's revealed one into the world. Anzala fi dunya rahmatan wahida, one mercy he has revealed into the world, bayn al jinni wal insi wal bahaimi wal hawam, among the jinn and the men and the human beings and the insects and the animals, فَبِهَا يَتَعَطَفُونَ, with that one mercy do they show compassion and love to each other. It is with us, it's a mercy from Allah. That love and compassion that they show is from that. فَبِهَا يَتَعَطَفُونَ حَتَّى تَعْطَفُ الْوَحْشُ عَلَى وَلَدِهَا, that even the wild beast can show mercy and compassion to its young. وَتَرْفَعُ الدَّبَّةُ حَفِرَهَا خَشَّةً أَن تُصِيبُ وَلَدَهَا أَن تُصِيبَ وَلَدَهَا, that even the wild beast, the ferocious beast, become compassionate, it lifts its hoofs so as not to crush its young. That mercy takes over. And I told you about the fact that in the lifeboat challenge, if there's one seat on a lifeboat and this boat is going down, the parent will always say, take my child, I would not sit. The child will always get the seat, because something amazing happens. You're completely transformed. So it's not difficult. It's actually, you'll find yourself, when your child cries at night, you will jump out of your bed, out of your sleep, as if you were never asleep. and you wouldn't understand what has happened. You find yourself standing in front of your child, you know. Even when you're asleep, you'll be conscious of your child. This is how powerful that mercy is. You know, there have been studies about why do parents not roll over and crush their babies in bed? Because it's a big human being, tiny baby, you would crush them, and when you're asleep, you're unconscious. But it never happens, only in one condition, and they found studies have done this, shown that only when the parent is heavily under the influence of alcohol, then they do it sometimes. But generally, it doesn't happen. And that what this proves is that the parent is conscious of the care of the child, even in the deepest of sleep. And that is the mercy of Allah in the heart, that is holding that person, it's gripping that person, the heart of the parent, to care for the child. And so, and that is why there is such a great emphasis on taking care of the heart of the parent in Islam, because Allah has captured it for the child. He's captured this heart and put it there to be completely devoted to the child. And this is not to say that there aren't exceptions. Allah sometimes show that when that mercy is taken away, then a parent may put the child in a shoebox and put them on the street. You know, once the Prophet ﷺ was kissing his son his grandson, and a man, a harsh Bedouin Arab, said to him, "Oh, taqabbiluna abna'akum," that, "Oh, are you kissing your son? I have 10, I didn't kiss any." You know, showing his macho, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh, amliku laka an naza'a Allahu min qalbika ar-rahma," that what can I do for you if Allah has taken that mercy out of your heart? So that is something that Allah places in the heart. It's, you know, I tell you my own story. When Yusuf was to be born, I was sitting in the waiting room, and the midwife came in and told me when to come in and what to do, what the process was, and when my child was about, when Yusuf was about to be born. So I was waiting, and then just as she finished explaining everything, as she was about to walk out, she said to me, "Oh yeah, and one more thing, that when you see your child for the first time, you will cry." And I said, "Excuse me, how do you know that?" And she said, "Yes, they all do, even the big macho ones. Yes, they all do." And I started to, you know, think. I said, "Okay, well, let's see." And I started to think about what were the reasons. And, of course, my knowledge of this aspect of the mercy descending in the heart, and Allah describing children as qurrata ayun, they are cooling to the eyes. When I first lay eye on my son, I burst into tears, and I felt this thing, and it completely changed. And as he needed care he had some complications for jaundice, or routine stuff, but I found myself wanting to do everything, saying to the doctor, "Is there anything that I can do?" My life was suddenly changed, the value of it that I could do. This is someone who I've just met 6 hours ago, and I'm willing to give any part of my body and anything I want, anything I can get to save this life, this new life that I've just seen. And that, I realized, then I understood the mercy, how it works. And this is something you will too. So the reason I'm going into all of these details is for you to understand that when Shaitan comes and says to you, "Oh no, you mustn't have children," or maybe it's a bit difficult thing in today's world and all of that, it should be clear to you that this is Shaitan, and he will be depriving you of something amazing, something beautiful, something, one of the most beautiful things in the world. It's that having that experience of the mercy taking over your heart, the mercy of Allah taking over your heart. Having that is an amazing thing. And according to, you know, people who study it, this is one of the most powerful forces in nature. They call it the parental instinct, which is was a problem for Darwin. So contradictory to have contradictory thoughts, thinking about repelling. Contradictory thoughts when it comes to doing good, and as in this case. So the point is that in order to acquire the ability to foster superior goals, we must engage in these three mental activities. First, by strengthening our belief in the guidance. through reflection, as we did. Second is to increase and strengthen our knowledge and consciousness of the greater fada'il, the higher virtues of the loftier deeds. And third, by strengthening our understanding and our resolve to dismiss contradictory thoughts that tries to dissuade you from this. Now, today I want to continue where we left off last week, which was with the story of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and his ability to modify his perspective when it came to the subject of tazkiyah and tarbiyah, when it came to dealing with matters of the heart. He did not allow his encyclopedic knowledge of hadith, and chains of narrations, etc., to prevent him from benefiting from a book that had technically weak narrations. He was able to distinguish between the technicalities of hadith scrutiny and the needs of tazkiyah, the needs for purification of the heart. While they are both important, they each have their place and have their sphere of function. As the author of the book, Dawud ibn al-Muhabbar, said that لم أخرجه على الأسانيد فأنظر فيه بعين الخبر. I did not write the book from the perspective of technical scrutiny. إنما نظرت فيه بعين العمل فانتفعت. That I approached this, my aim was to get benefit and to improve practice. That is where it was. And so this is the point. Intention follows our perspectives. And Imam Ghazali then further explains this. He says, وهذا لأن النية تتبع النظر. النية تتبع النظر. فإذا تغير النظر تغيرت النية. That the perspective, the approach, the angle from which you are approaching something has an influence on the intention. So if your approach, your intention, your angle, your perspective changes, then your intention will also change. And this we saw when Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal then took the book again, he changed his whole approach and his intention changed. So, وَكَانُوا لَا يَرَوْنَ أَن يَعْمَلُوا عَمَلًا إِلَّا بِنِيَّةٍ. And they did not see it right to do things without intention. لِعِلْمِهِمْ, because of their knowledge, بِأَنَّ النِّيَّةَ رُوحُ الْعَمَالِ. Because niyyah, intention, is the soul of action. So your soul, your actions will be dead. A soulless thing is something dead. وَأَنَّ الْعَمَلَ بِغَيْرِ نِيَّةٍ صَادِقَةٍ رِيَاءٌ وَتَكَلُّفٌ. That and to do actions without intentions, then it will either be riya, it will either be for show, or it would be takalluf. It would be unnecessarily burdening yourself or doing something to avoid an awkward situation. وَهُوَ سَبَبُ مَقْتٍ وَلَا سَبَبُ قُرْبٍ. And it is the source of dislike, the source of Allah's anger, not Allah's closeness, and which is what you want. Why you're doing good deeds? The purpose of a good deed is to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلِمُوا أَنَّ النِّيَّةَ لَيْسَتْ هِيَ قَوْلُ الْقَائِلِ بِلِسَانِهِ نَوَيْتُ. That niyyah is not the statement of someone who says, I intend. بَلْ هُوَ إِمْبِعَاثُ الْقَلْبِ يَجْرِي. That this is a motivation of the heart. In the heart, يَجْرِي مَجْرَى الْفُتُوحِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. يجري مجرى الفتوح من الله. That these are things that come with openings from Allah. Allah blesses you with it, with openings. وقد تتيسر في بعض الأوقات وقد لا تتعذر وقد تتعذر في بعضها. That sometimes it may come and sometimes it may not. But you have to work on the heart. You have to work on filling your heart with the right components, with the right so that the right inclinations can develop. So if you approach something with that specific view, then it will have an influence on your intention. And also, what is prevalent in the heart will guide its direction. من كان الغالب على قلبه أمر الدين. The one in whose heart the matters of deen, the matters of Islam, is dominant in his heart. تتيسر عليه أكثر الأحوال إحضار النية للخيرات. That the one whose heart has this dominance of the importance of deen and the necessity of deen, then for that person, his it is easy, it becomes easy for his heart to foster good intentions, للخيرات, for good intentions. فَإِنَّ قَلْبَهُ مَائِلٌ بِالْجُمْلَةِ إِلَىٰ أَصْلِ الْخَيْرِ. That his heart will be inclined to the root of good. It will be rooted in being in that inclination, in that incline, generally. That if that is dominant in the heart. If, on the other hand, فَيَنْبَعِثْ إِلَىٰ تَفَاصِيلِ غَالِبًا. So if it is rooted, if the incline is rooted in that direction, then details will follow. So then you will have تَفَاصِيلِ غَالِبًا. وَمَنْ مَالَ قَلْبُهُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا وَغَلَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ. But on the other hand, if a person's heart is rooted, is inclined in the other direction towards dunya, and all he thinks about the dunya, and night and day his occupation is rooted in finding things about the dunya, لَمْ يَتَيَسَّرْ ذَلِكَ. That this will not be easy for him. بَلْ لَا يَتَيَسَّرُ لَهُ فِي الْفَرَائِضِ. That good intention sometimes becomes... If dunya is dominant in your heart, if it's only about, you know, making this world and being successful in this world and not having any concern for the akhirah, then even your fara'id, even the intention in your fara'id will become difficult. Because you'll find yourself going to the masjid or praying to the people you see, and I may build my network. I go to the masjid, I'm building network for my career instead of, or I'm showing, I'm trying to impress people. All kinds of other thoughts will be dominant if the akhirah, if dunya is dominant in a person's heart. So he's saying, بَلَّا يَتَيَسَّرْ لَهُ فِي الْفَرَائِضِ إِلَّا بِجُهْدٍ جَهِيدٍ. Except with strong effort. وَغَايَتُهُ أَن يَتَذَكَّرَ النَّارُ. And the extent that he may go, he may be able to muster, is أَن يَتَذَكَّرَ النَّارُ وَيُحَدِّرْ نَفْسَهُ وَإِقَابَهَا. That he remembers the fire. And say, okay, well, and then warn himself, and then through that muster an intention. أو نعيم الجنة ويرغب نفسه فيها. Or you see, he remembers, he brings his mind to thinking about the bounties and the beauty of Jannah, and that draws him towards that, and he's able. فربما تنبعث له داعية ضعيفة. And then a weak sort of intention can develop. فَيَكُونُ ثَوَابُهُ بِقَدْرِ رَغْبَتِهِ وَنِيَّتِهِ. But his reward will be at that same level, that same low level, just thinking about basic things. There are higher intentions that one can have. And he said, وَأَمَّا طَاعَةُ عَلَى نِيَّةِ إِجْلَالِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِاسْتِقَاقِهِ الطَّاعَةَ وَالْعُبُودِيَّةِ. That as for intention, to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا الطَّاعَةُ عَلَى نِيَّةِ إِجْلَالِ اللَّهِ. As for the obedience with intention to glorify Allah, because Allah is most deserving of all obedience, and all worship. That is an intention that is above everything else. فَلَا تَتَيَسَّرْ لِلرَّاغِبِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. But this intention, that we are doing it solely to glorify Allah, obedience solely for glorifying Allah, for that does not come for the one in whose heart there is a prevalence of dunya. He's only thinking about dunya. وَهَذِهِ أَعَزُّ النِّيَّاتِ وَأَعْلَاهَا. And this is the most honorable and the highest of intention, to glorify Allah alone. Now that's the only thing to be in your mind. ويعز على بسيط الأرض من يفهمها فضلا عن من يتعاطاها. But it is rare, it's difficult even for people to understand this, much less those who practice this. Because people differ in this. نيات الناس في الطاعات أقسام. He's saying that the intentions of people are vary according to the person, their state, and their actions. So he says, إذن منهم منهم من يكون عمله إجابة للباعث الخوف. That some people, their actions are in response to the motivation of fear, through fear. فإنه يتقي النار. So he's avoiding the fire. ومنهم من يعمل إجابة لباعث الرجاء. And there are those who do it for hope. وهو الرغبة في الجنة. He wants to go into Jannah, so he's getting there. وهذا وإن كان نازلا بالإضافة. And even though that this is at a lower level than doing it solely for Allah alone, إلى قصد طاعة الله وتعظيمه لذاته ولجلاله لا لأمر سواه that this is below that of doing something with the intention of obeying Allah for His magnificence, for His, to glorify Allah, for Allah Himself, and not for anything else. فَهُوَ مِنْ جُمْلَةِ النِّيَّةِ الصَّحِيحِ It falls within the category of correct intention. And remember here, we're discussing ranking of intentions. So this is the highest of intentions. The highest one is when it's done purely for Allah alone, for the glory, to glorify Allah. So one has to know Allah in order for that to develop. So he said, لِأَنَّ مَيْلِ الْمَعُودِ, and he's explaining here further how this works. He said, لِأَنَّهُ مَيْلٌ إِلَى الْمَعُودِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْمَعْلُوفَاتِ in جِنْسِ الْمَعْلُوفَاتِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. That this inclination that you have for Jannah and for avoiding the fire and all of that, that is because it is about what is promised in the Akhirah, even though it is of something that has familiarity in the dunya. We know fire here, and so we know about fire there. We know about beauty. We know about na'im. We know about blessings and bounty here. So there's dunya. وَأَغْلَبُ الْبَوَاعِثُ الْفَرْجِ وَالْبَطَنِ. And he said that most of the motivations in this world is based on the stomach and on carnal desires. وَمَوْضِعُ قَضَاعِ وِتْرِهَا الْجَنَّةِ, and the real place for these things to be fully satisfied is in Jannah. That's where the full it will be completed. فَالْعَامِلُ لِأَجْلِ الْجَنَّةِ عَامِلُ لِبَطْنِهِ وَفَرْجِهِ. So the one who is working for the Jannah alone, without Allah, that's the level of his. Then it has a dunya aspect of it, which is the batn and the farj, which is the stomach and the carnal desire. وَدَرَجَتُهُ دَرَجُ الْبُلْهُ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَنَالُهُ بِعَمِلِهِ. Then he will get it with his word, but this is somewhat heedless when compared to the higher intention, the higher intention that we have. وَأَمَّا عِبَادَةُ ذَوِي الْأَلْبَابِ, as for the people who is known, who are al-bab, people of sound heart, people of reflection, people of perspicacity, for those people, فَلَا تَجَاوَزَ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَالْفِكْرِ فَلَا تَجَاوَزَ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالْفِكْرَ فِيهِ حُبًّا لِجَمَالِهِ وَجَلَالِهِ. That their fikr, their intention is focused on remembering, keeping Allah in their heart, keeping Allah, thinking about Allah, remembering Allah, loving Allah, حُبًّا لِجَمَالِهِ, for Allah, for the beauty that Allah is. We know Allah's beauty from the beautiful things He has created. When we look at a flower, we see Allah's beauty. When we reflect on those, that mercy, that love and compassion in the hearts of parents, we know that Allah is beautiful, that Allah has put this beautiful love in our hearts, that Allah has created all these beautiful things in the world, then Allah is beautiful. Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ وَيُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ, that Allah is beautiful. So, hub for Allah. وَسَائِرُ أَعْمَالِ تَكُونُ مُؤَكِّدَاتٍ وَمُرَادِفْ لَهُ. That all the other actions the obediences, the things that we'll be doing, they will be strengthening this love and this connection with Allah. That's what it's meant to do. وَهَوْلَاهِ أَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتِ مِنَ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ إِلَى الْمَنْكُوحِ وَالْمَطْمُعُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And of course, this is higher than the one whose view is of what we will get in Jannah and what we will get of food and enjoyment. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَقْصُرُوا بَلْ هُمُ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ. These people, يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ. The ones who do it for Allah, they are the ones who Allah describes. هُمُ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ. They are the ones who call towards their Lord, who call upon their Lord in the morning and evening. And يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ, they want the face of Allah. ثَوَابُ النَّاسِ بِقَدْرِ نِيَّتِهِمْ, and the reward for people is according to their intention. فَلَا جَرَمَا يَتَنَعَمُونَ بِالنَّظْرِ إِلَى وَجْهِ الْكَرِيمِ. And those people who want the face of Allah, they will be, when people enter into Jannah and they had all the bounties of Jannah, all the enjoyment, everything, then Allah will call the angels and will make an announcement that, look, we have something more. And they will think, well, what can there be? Everything beyond our wildest dreams, everything that we can imagine and what we couldn't imagine, we have got. What could there be? And then, يُرْفَعُ الْحِجَابِ, then the veils will be lifted and people will be blessed with seeing, with the audience of Allah. And that would be, the Prophet ﷺ swore and said that would be more. It would eclipse all the joys that they had by being in the presence of Allah. So this يَتَنَعَّمُونَ بِالنَّظْرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. So, وَالْغَرَضْ أَنَّ هَذِهِ النِّيَّاتِ مُتَفَاوِتَةٌ بِتَفَاوُتِ الدَّرَجَاتِ. That these intentions differ on the basis of the degree of with the person. فَمَنْ غَلَبَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ وَاحِدَةٌ مِّنْهَا. So if one of these becomes dominant in your heart, then it will guide your heart. However, for some people, a simple intention can become an aid in preparation for a greater deed. And so, having said all of this, Imam Ghazali is also speaking about the fact that you need to go slowly. Because some people plunge in too deep and then end up making a mistake or retracting themselves. You know, one day you're praying tahajjud all night and then you miss Salat al-Fajr. And then you don't do the Salat al-Qiyam for the next month. So that's not what is intended here. Even though we are calling, the intention is to raise your game, is to increase what you're doing. مَعْرِفَةُ هَذِهِ الدَّقَائِقُ تُورِثُ أَعْمَالٍ وَعَفَالٍ يَسْتَنْكِرُهَا الظَّاهِرِيُّونَ مِنَ الْفُقَهَاءِ. That, you know, the scholars who are just looking at the outer level of things may find a difficulty with what I'm about to say. He says, فَإِنَّا نَقُولُ مَنْ حَضَرَتْ لَهُ نِيَّةٌ فِي الْمُبَاحِ. That if an intention for something that is permissible, it's not something that has an obedience. Not, you know, we talked about the three categories. We have al-ma'asi, ta'at, and mubahat. Acts of worship, sin, acts of sin, and those that are neutral, that are neither sin nor action. No. So mubah, a neutral act. He said, if a person has an intention for that, look, this is allowed, so I'll do it. But he has an intention for that. But he doesn't have an intention. وَلَمْ تَحْضُرْهُ نِيَّةٌ لِلْفَضِيلَ. He didn't get an intention. He wasn't able, his heart did not produce an intention for a fadila, for a virtuous deed. فَالْمُبَاحُ أَوْلَى. So then, having that intention for mubah is better for him in that given moment, for that person. Until when تَقَلَتِ الْفَضِيلَةُ إِلَيْهِ. So then that becomes his fadila, that becomes his virtue. وَصَارَتِ الْفَضِيلَةُ فِي حَقِّهِ نَقِيسَةٌ. So this نَقِيسَةٌ, this thing that was deficient, is now his fadila. لِأَنَّ الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Intentions, actions are with intention. وَذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الْعَفْوِ. فإنه أفضل من الانتصار في الظلم. That if someone does something wrong against you, it is better to forgive them, right? Or to demand your right. Both, it's a higher intention to forgive or to demand your right. But if a person comes, he's unable. He comes to this to a settlement with this situation, and his heart says that I should take my right, his intention is for that, then he should go with what his heart says and not do and not seek to forgive when there is no intention for forgiving. You should have, and what does that mean, no intention? That you're not doing it for Allah. You might do it for, oh, because I feel so-and-so might be angry, or to please people, or to impress people. If you're doing it for that, then it's better to take your right and not. So he's showing you that when there is difference, variation, then you choose the one that your heart is settled on, and that's the one that you should stick to. And then he gives a few other examples. He says, مَثَلُ مَنْ يَكُونَ نِيَتُهُ فِي الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَالنَّوْمِ لِيَسْتَرِيحَ نَفْسَهُ لِيَتَقَوَّى عَلَى الْعِبَادَةِ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبِلِ. That a person has an intention to eat and to drink, to eat and to sleep. But in that, there is that he wants to rest himself so that he can get up for ibadah later on. So for that, it is better for him to, if a person is tired, then he should go on the basis of what the intention that comes in the heart, and it is neutral, it is good, it is not in the bad category, then he should follow it to develop further. So he's saying that, وَلَيْسَتْ تَنْبَعْثُ نِيَّتُهُ فِي الْحَالِ إِلَى الصَّوْمِ. That at this moment, he doesn't have an intention for Sawm and for fasting, for Salah. فَأَكْلُ وَالنَّوْمُ هُوَ أَفْضَلْ لَهُ. It's better for him to eat right now and then strengthen himself to then pray later. بَلْ لَوْ مَلَّ الْعِبَادَةَ لِمُوَاظَبَتِهِ عَلَيْهِ. If he's just praying all the time, then he will develop an irksomeness of, you know, boredom, and he might get completely distracted. It might become completely difficult for him. So, in other words, what he's saying is that we have to take small steps when we're moving here. فَالْأَكْلُ وَالنَّوْمُ أَفْضَلُ لَهُ وَسَكَنَ نَشَاطُهُ. And he gives the example of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. He said, he also says here, وَعَلِمَ أَنَّهُ لَوْ تَرَفَّحَ سَاعَةً بِلَهْوٍ وَحَدِيثٍ عَادَ نَشَاطُهُ. That if he takes a break, if he takes a break from what he's doing, instead of praying all the time, night and day, and going into excess, if he takes a break from time to time, he says, with some play or some speaking to some conversation, then عَادَ نَشَاطُهُ, that he can be invigorated to practice again. فَاللَّهُ وَالْحَدِيثُ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ لَهُ. فَقَالَ إِنِّي, this is, he quotes Abu Darda radiallahu anhu saying, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَجِمُّ نَفْسِي بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ اللَّهُ فَيَكُونُ ذَلِكَ عَوْنًا لِي عَلَى الْحَقِّ. That I take a break sometimes, and doing something that relaxes me, and so that then that becomes a reason for invigorating me to do good things. And he quotes Ali radiallahu anhu, كَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَهُ, he said, رَوَّحُ الْقُلُوبُ فَإِنَّهَا إِذَا أُكْرِهَتْ عَمِيَتْ. That give the heart some rest as well. So the فَإِنَّهَا أُكْرِهَتْ, that if it's forced too much, then it will become blind. And of course, we have the hadith here that where Rasulullah Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that إِنَّ الدِّينَ يُسْرٌ. The deen, that this deen is easy. And the reason I'm emphasizing this right now is that we've been talking a lot about managing our iman and managing our life, but we've got to be careful not to go over on the other side. You know, we talked about shaitan pushing you overboard, that he can push you on to the other direction, that he tries to stop you and you continue, but then he pushes you into extreme. So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that inna ad-deena yusrun, the deen is easy, وَلَنْ يُشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَ. That this deen, this religion is easy. It's very easy. So whoever overburdens himself in the religion will not be able to continue in that way. So you should not go into extreme, he's saying. فَسَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالْغُدْوَةِ وَالرَّوْحَةِ وَشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الدُّلْجَ. That he said that, but try to go close to perfection and receive good tidings, and that you will be rewarded and gain strength from worshipping in the morning and the evening and during the last hours of the night. Now, this is a delicate matter, so you've got to be able to draw an important balance. And the thing that you have to keep in mind is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be continuous in what you're doing. For the beloved, he said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ, that the most beloved actions of the slave that we can do is adwamuha wa inqal, that it is the ones, is the action, is the good deeds that are continuous, because innal jibala min al hasa, that the mountains are built of pebbles, you know, tiny bits, then you will get. But if you do all one and then collapse, then that is a falling for the trick of shaitan and the trick of the nafs. So it's to go slowly and build upon it. So ahabbul amali إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَدْوَمُهَا, the most beloved of actions are those that are continuous, that you do them, وَإِنْ قَلْ, even if it's a little, but it's regularly and it's continuous. That is how it's, recognizing this is important. And because he's saying, and then he continues, we're out of time, but he ends the chapter, he says, فَكَذَلِكَ سُلُوكُ طَرِيقِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى كُلُّهُ قِتَالٌ مَعَ الشَّيْطَانِ, that this is a battle with shaitan. This path of going, so you have to give and take. You have to, sometimes in battle, and he speaks about this, but I'm not going to read the text. He said that sometimes an expert in battle would indulge in what is known as strategic retreat, that he will turn his back and run, but what he wants to do is to draw him is to make him lose interest and then attack again. So this battle with Shaitan, that he's coming from left and right and front and back, he's out to get you, and you have to manage this with your nafs at the same time. So in order to do this, you have to go back and forth and maintain this idea of continuity. That, look, I'm going to do this much, and I'm going to do it every day. And I'm not going to overburden myself. Because remember, there was Sahaba who said that, look, I'm not going to fast, I'm not going to get married. There's this statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that an-nikahu min sunnati, that marriage is my sunnah, and whoever is not pleased with it, then he's not of my father. He said this to a Sahabi, who had decided that, look, I'm not going to get married, and he was praying all night and fasting all day. And he said, no, this is not what, and I'm the most pious among you. I'm closest to Allah, and I'm saying this to you, that look, I do this, I get married, I sleep, I fast, and I eat. So it's about not overbearing yourself, but doing it slowly, but with an intention for continuity. That this is where I need to go for the rest of my life. And I'm going to add to it as I get stronger, as my iman gets stronger, as my resources, as my capacity for adding, I will do it. So with that, I think we will end today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبو لك بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا ربي يا كريم اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا ربي يا كريم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.